Turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. We're going to read 20 verses in this particular chapter. We're going to put a lengthy title on this. About half of the time will be spent on the title. Jesus helps a man no one else could. I think this will make sense as we get into it. And again, I'm probably going to give you more of an outline maybe tonight, than I will message. But in this particular passage, there's a character that if there was everybody, anybody, anywhere that ever needed help, this fellow did. Let's take a moment and pray, and then we'll read these 20 verses and endeavor to put together the thought tonight that we want to put together. Father, we appreciate your grace tonight and thank you for every person that's here. And Father, we're thankful that there is a day in the year where the laboring forces of the United States of America are honored. Call it Labor Day. So Father, I pray you'll bless the hearts and lives of these folks and honor the name that is above every name, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ. And in this message, glorify Him again who loved us with such intensity as our Lord loved us. We'll thank you for it, for we pray in the glorious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. They came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tomb a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, crying with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. He besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. This man was starting in the middle of the verse, sitting clothed and in his right mind. They were afraid. They that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. When he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends. Tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And this is a marvel that we're reading of tonight. As we think about this particular person and the plight that he is in, I realize it's hard for us to realize, but he was at one time a babe in a mother's arms. He wasn't always like this. Now, sometimes it happens very early in life. The Lord had several brought to him that, as we look over the case, they were young, extremely young. But do you realize tonight, I trust that you do, that your life affects the life of your children. You have direct effect upon others. And this man had somebody, no doubt, that was a direct effect upon him. And so he winds up in a plight. But our Lord, when he went in to the country of the Gadarenes, the Bible tells us that not really did he meet the legion, but the legion saw him afar off and ran and worshiped him and entered into conversation. You ask how many is in a legion? Well, it varied from legion to legion, but I'm going to just give you this piece of information. There had to be, I think, at least 2,000 devils in this man's life, because there were 2,000 head of swine, and the Bible said all of them left none undone that ran down into the water and drowned themselves. The Bible describes him. And there's always something telling about where a person lives. Now, the old house is gone now. If it's not, it probably ought to be. I lived in a two-room shack, not a house, just on the east side of the Clear Fork of the Trinity, about a half to three-quarters of a mile up through a field and on the hillside. And you didn't have to come around our place to figure out that we were folks that didn't have a lot of means. I mean, just by the house we lived in. My dad was a day laborer, and to those of you who don't know what a day laborer is, by and large, it's just a man that hires himself out and he works for X number of dollars a day. You can believe it or not, but I've worked a lot of days for $4 a day. And I don't recommend that by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a fact of life. The first job I ever had, I made $2 a day. I made pretty good money. You see, I was working with another fella, and I told you $2, dollar and a half a day. But my dad was only making $3 a day, and he was an experienced hand. So you didn't have to be around my family too long to figure out that they were not of any great means. And there were certain things that you would do to make a living. Well, this man had an unusual place to live. He lived out among the tombs. I'm not really afraid of the dead. But I am rather like the old boy that went through the cemetery. And there was a haint jumped up from behind a tombstone. And they ran and they ran and they ran. Until this fellow was give out, and he sat down on one end of the log. This Hank came up and sat down on the other end. And he said to the fellow, "Boy, we had a good race, didn't we?" And the guy said, "Yeah, we're going to have another just as soon as I get my breath." That's what I don't ever recall having to live among the dead. But I've known a few people because of some peculiarity that they had, that they would always be visiting a cemetery. If I could give you a bit of information, as my allotted days run out, if it's early enough in the morning, have the funeral early and go on back and go to work. If it's late enough, have it in the evening and wait till the day is over with. Don't use the day of. Time's too precious. And I'm going to take just an aside and say this and go on, that our time belongs to the Lord. We're bought with a price. Therefore, we're to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. So that doesn't cost you anything. But this man lived among the tombs, and the Bible said he cried day and night. He was not in his right mind. And maybe all of us have a touch of that, but at least some of us can tell what time of day it is. But this man had a peculiarity about him. Well, let me just mention a few of the peculiarities that this man had. He did live among the tombs. That was where his abiding place was. And we have to assume he was naked because the Bible said he didn't wear any clothes. I'm going to give you a bit of information and do with it what you will, but nakedness is a sign of demon influence if it's not demon possession. And we've got enough of that going on today in our society to suffice for a number of societies. But again, he cried day and night. And then, whenever the question was raised, the man didn't answer. The demon answered for him, used his voice, which leads me to just a thought I want to share with you. I believe that demons have a certain affinity to a geographic location. There's just something about a place. If you'll look into a good history book and study the city of Corinth, it lay non-existent for about 100 years. But as soon as they built it, the same old gods and goddesses showed up and all of the things that would indicate that there was demon activity among them. What does a man need? I believe we can see it in our text. He needs to be free and freed. Demons enslave. In this particular case, they control this man. For whatever reason, he did live among the tombs, but behind the scenes, there were demons that were enslaving this man. Demons controlled his life. He needed someone greater than his own person or himself to help him. For you see that the Bible said of man that they had often bound him with fetters and with chains. And he broke the chains asunder, indicating that there was something supernatural going on in his life. And when a man can break a good chain, there's certainly something going on in his life. And so it was. The man needs to be freed. And the truth of the matter is there's only one that can free him. That can help the man that nobody else can. Final point. No amen? The outcome. Always like to have a good ending to a story. You know what makes up a story or a book? It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Well, I don't know about the beginning of this fella. The middle wasn't so hot for him. But the end sure turns out well. The demons are cast out. They enter into the swine. They ran down the steep place into the sea and they drowned themselves. Well, it's then at least he's freed from that influence. Then we get to look at him as God had done his work in his life. And this man was clothed, sitting at the feet of Jesus. The Bible said he's in his right mind. That's a pretty good ending. Pretty good outcome.
Amen.
It's a glorious outcome, to tell you the truth. Not too many times have we been privileged to see such working of God's Holy Spirit in hearts and lives, but it is a blessing to see such go on in life. And this man was clothed, that he's sitting at the feet of Jesus and in his right mind. Not only that, but he wanted to go with him. Just, again, as an aside, wouldn't it be nice if folks would, after they're saved, want to do something, not only for the Lord, but with the Lord. Spend some time with Him. Learn something of Him. And this man wanted to follow Jesus. And in a sense, I think we'd have to say that he was privileged to do that. Even though it was in a way that he had not planned. The Lord said to him, you go home and tell your friends, your family, what great things the Lord's done for you. And the Bible said he went to Decapolis and began to publish abroad what had gone on. And the idea of Decapolis is that there's 10 cities that are pretty well grouped in the sense that they're not great distances between them. And I'm sure that somehow or another he went to his family, his friends, those folks that he cared about, in those 10 cities, and told them of Jesus Christ. That's a good outcome, folks. It's a glorious outcome. We'd like to see more of that. As the Lord works, uses us just as an instrument. I always like to just try to put in a nugget. But I think the nugget in this case is that he did follow the Lord, even though it was just his direction. And he may have seen things that he would not have seen had he been in the personal presence of Jesus Christ. There's just something about being in the place the Lord tells us to go. Doing what he tells us to do. And honoring him who loved us and died for us.